I think it's about time to go to the Micah passage. I've been talking about that passage a long time, and it is related to Revelation chapter 12, I believe, and the constellation. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. I'm your friend. You're my friend. And I don't take it for granted that you and I can meet this way every day. It is a privilege to be able to talk with you. It is a miracle that we're able to do this, that you're watching me on this, you're watching me move on a screen or on your phone or on your computer, or you're listening to me. It's just an amazing time. It's part of the increase of knowledge at the time of the end. Gabriel told Daniel that the knowledge will increase, and we're there. Knowledge is increasing. And now we have the capabilities to talk to one another in this way. And sometimes it's as good as it gets. Because, you know, we're so spread out. God has scattered us among the all over the world. And he makes it difficult for us to get together. That's the number one lament I hear from you. That's why I have conferences. That's why I go to these conferences, because it gives people an opportunity to actually meet in the flesh. And even if you're in Poland or Tasmania, you could come to Indianapolis. It's within the realm of the possible. And I invite you to. Before, I've said Indianapolis is the crossroads of America, and that if you're anywhere nearby, come on over. And I would make a joke, like if you're in Los Angeles, for instance, or Miami, or Toronto, come on over, as if that's close. Well, now I'm going to take it to the next level, and I'm going to tell you this. Here's how close it is. If you're in Poland, if you're in France, if you're in Holland, if you're in Australia, if you're in Canada, if you're in the Samoan Islands, you're close enough to Indianapolis to come to the conference. I'm going to be giving you details. Why not be with fellow members of the body of Christ on this interesting day? Isn't that what the mamas and the papas sang? Monday, Monday. I always can't trust that day. I used to think it was interesting day. You know how you get lyrics all mixed up all the time. Can't trust that day. Monday, Monday. It just turned out that way. Yeah, can't trust that day. I'd rather believe it's interesting day. Because God does things on certain days. It's known as the fullness of time. When the fullness of time came, he brought his son. It's the fullness of time. It has to happen. Interesting. Oh, interesting day. And you can trust the day that God brings. I used to work at a restaurant back in 1979. It was called Friendly Restaurant. And this church group used to come in every morning. They used to drive us crazy. They used to sing, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. Bum, 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 bum. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And I used to think, these people are fools. They're Christians. But you know what? I see the wisdom of it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I should rejoice. See, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I can't guarantee that, but I really should rejoice and be glad in it. But usually, I'm usually happy when days are done. It's like, okay, that day's gone. It's never going to come back again. Now, we're talking in Revelation 12 about, let me get the page right here, talking about a woman giving birth. And a woman giving birth to a male, a son, a male, who is about to be shepherding all the nations with an iron club. And I suggested to you yesterday that this was a corporate woman, that is faithful Israel, and a corporate son, the 144,000. Now I turn you to Micah chapter 5, Micah the prophet, chapter 5, verse 2. This is a familiar verse, verse 2, but what comes after this, not so familiar to you, but this is the part I'm going to emphasize. I'll start with verse 2. Micah 5. Yet you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, inferior to be among the mentors of Judah, from you shall one come forth for me to become the ruler in Israel. Yet his goings forth are from aforetime, from days aeonian. Now this is setting us up for verse 3. I want to point this out from verse 2. Inferior to be among the mentors of Judah, that is Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a nothing little burg in Israel, and yet being inferior, it is the place from whence comes forth the ruler in Israel. And it's not as if he's peering out of nowhere. His goings forth are from aforetime. In other words, it was all planned ahead of time. The Lamb was slain from the disruption of the world, the blood of Christ foreknown before the disruption, and yet here he comes, the day arrives, the fullness of time, and he comes to a city, a town, a burg in Israel called Bethlehem. Inferior, an inferior town in an inferior nation. Israel was the smallest of the nations, and this is the smallest town among the nations. Yet his goings forth are from aforetime, from days aeonian. That's a very cagey way of saying that this one came from God and was with God. Verse 3, therefore he shall get, it seems like the channel is being changed here. It's the Bible, it's scripture, so the language seems strange. Therefore he shall give them up. It's almost like his son was given up, but you have to, it's skipping that. The prophets don't see clearly the two comings of Christ. But anyway, Micah says, the prophet says, therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. And the rest of his brothers shall return to the sons of Israel, and he will stand and shepherd them in the strength of Yahweh, in the augustness of the name of Yahweh his Elohim. And they will dwell securely. For now shall he be great unto the limits of the land, and this one will be peace. That is loaded. It may take me the rest of the week and part of next week to get through this. But verse 3, therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. In Romans 11, Paul talks about really Israel having been given up to the nations. Israel has been under the thumb of the nations. Israel is the natural graft onto the olive tree, but Israel gave it away. They rejected their Messiah, and so Israel lost its place as the head of the nations, as those who would bring light. The olive tree speaks of light. They gave up their right to do that, and now the other nations, who are a wild graft, have been grafted onto the natural olive tree, because we are benefiting from Israel bringing the scripture to us. So Israel is the natural bough of the olive tree. But that natural bough has been temporarily hewn off, and now the nations have been like grafted in a weird way, because it's an unnatural growth to the olive tree. And we partake of Israel's fatness in the sense that we're using her scriptures. I'm talking to you now from the book of an Israelite, John. And I'm referencing letters and words from other Israelites who brought us the scriptures. No scripture came apart from an Israelite. And so, in that sense, the nations are partaking of the fatness of the olive tree. There, but he shall give them up. This is not going to happen forever. I told you that Paul's gospel is a window. He's going to give them up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. This word until, it does remind me of a passage in Romans 11:25, which I'm going to read to you right now. Romans 11:25, for I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. I see a parallel between Romans 11:25 and this verse in Micah 5:3, therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. The difference is, instead of saying that they will be given up until the time when the fullness of the nations will be entering, Paul has further light. He's giving us that information, speaking of the body of Christ coming to fruition, coming to completion. Instead, the prophet Micah is saying that he is going to give up Israel until the time when she who is to bear will bear. But I tell you this, both things are true. Paul's just giving us further light, giving us another circumstance that's happening at the same time, or near the same time, or potentially the same time. The events are related in a way that the nations and the fullness of the nations must enter before Israel is back on the front burner with God. But here's the interesting thing, is that Micah says that they're given up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. Who is she, and who is she bearing? Well, I think the next sentence in Micah 5 answers that question. And the rest of his brothers shall return to the sons of Israel, the rest of his brothers. And now we go back to Paul in Romans 11, and thus all Israel shall be saved. Callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering, and thus all Israel shall be saved. Arriving out of Zion shall be a rescuer, and he will be turning irreverence from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them whenever I should be eliminating their sins. But that comes after a birth. All this centers around a birth. We have two major births in the Aeonian times. The first one, of course, would be Eve birthing Cain. Oh, I have born a son. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to the problem. Well, no, it's not him. It's not even Seth. But the one who is going to eventually deliver humanity from this snare, from this capturing of death and sin, will come from Eve. And Mary, Miriam, the mother of Jesus Christ, was a daughter of Eve. And Jesus Christ comes from God and from man. He comes from this, from the woman, but his seed was not from Joseph. Sorry, Joseph. Seed was directly generated by the Holy Spirit. So this one is born of a virgin. And you could go to Revelation chapter 12 and say, well, this must be Miriam giving birth to Jesus Christ. It's so obvious there, isn't it? Because a woman gives birth, about to be shepherding the nations, and yet I read that the offspring goes into the wilderness to be nourished for 1,320 days. So this is not Jesus Christ. This is another birth. This is the second epic birth. It is the birth of the sons of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just like I told you yesterday, he's the Eloah. He's the one that came from God. And there's Elohim. They're a plural beings. They're the ones who created the earth. They're the ones who pulled the trigger. They're the ones who pushed the buttons. Likewise, there is a corporate son now coming. And you might say that this is Jesus Christ bringing many sons to glory. Now, don't get excited. It is a transadministrational truth. We are also sons of God. But we are not sons of the kingdom. We are not sons of the millennial kingdom. We are not sons of Abraham. We're not literal sons of Abraham. We're all the offspring of God. Paul even said that the Athenians, when he was on Mars Hill, were all his offspring. In a sense, we're all his offspring. We all came from him. But during the Aeonian times, God pays special attention to certain ones. And these he calls his sons. So we are sons of God in a deeper sense. We're members of the body of Christ. We could be said to be his son. We could be said to be, and we are said to be, the body of Christ. Israel's the bride of the Lamb. So they're sons in a lesser sense, yet they're still offsprings. They're just farther down the line. Remember, everything goes down the line. El, Eloah, Elohim. Jesus Christ, the apostles, the 144,000. All administering the same truth. It all comes out in the wash, ladies and gentlemen, but the rinse cycle is not over yet, and the spin cycle is sure not over yet. Okay? You can't open the washer until everything's done. In the meantime, we have to distinguish things that differ. And main distinction here is our sonship, which is the body of Christ, and the sonship spoken of in Micah 5 and Revelation 12, which are many sons coming to glory, many Israel sons. This is the sand seed of Abraham that are going to people the earth and shepherd the nations of the earth. So back to Micah 5. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. Did I make myself clear earlier? I'm not sure that I did. Paul says that they are given up until the time when the nations shall be entering. Micah says that they're given up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. Both things are true, but the nations entering must happen before she who is to bear will bear. And I believe this is the what is being signified, what is being shown by a sign in the heavens of the, and remember, Genesis 1:14, the stars that make up the Virgo, the Virgin, and the stars that are in on her head, the crown on her head, that are made up of 9 stars of the constellation Leo and 3 planets. This was a picture given to John to picture a truth, to picture something that was actually going to happen on earth. It was a sign. It just meant something. And I'm telling you that September 23rd is a trigger that is going to start something. And the trigger will happen on that day. Now, it will start. What I mean is that something will start on that day. Does that mean that there's going to be some giant thing that you're going to notice on page 1 of the New York Times because of this constellation? No. But it does mean that something will start. Something that has not started before will start on that day. And that is, it's a sign that there's a birth coming. Just as the first star that was seen by the 3 wise guys was a sign that a king was coming, thus also this arrangement of planets and stars is a sign that another birth is taking place. It can't be the birth of Jesus Christ because he was already born. There was another celestial sign that portended his birth. This is a different sign among the celestials, among the stars and the planets, that portends another birth. And I'm explaining to you what that birth is, what I believe it is. And here it is pretty graphically explained to us in Micah 5:3. And the rest of his brothers shall return to the sons of Israel. That's it in a nutshell. The rest of his brothers shall return to the sons of Israel. The rest of his brothers. Who are the rest of his brothers? The 144,000 who are sealed with his name on their foreheads, who will be the progenitors of the coming kingdom, who are the pioneers, who are the first ones to be sealed at the end, at the tail end of this eon, at the tail end of the works of humanity. 666, at the time of 666, when the works of humanity comes to fruition during the 6th millennium. You see, it's all sixes. At the end of the 6th millennium comes 666, everything man can do with the beast. And at the same time, what does God combat that with? Oh, the birth of another son, of a corporate son. And that's when Satan panics, because now I no longer just have one of them to deal with. Now it's no longer a theory. Now it's no longer Israel in repose, Israel in apostasy, Israel calloused. The callousness has now come off Israel, and now I got 144,000 of them to deal with. So he sends a third of the stars of heaven, which I believe are spiritual beings, to combat this birth, to combat what is happening. And so, listen, folks, we could be at the conference in Indianapolis at the same time that there's this major battle in the heavens, and there won't be a whisper of it on earth. But it's happening, and it's like you listen, and all you hear is like the sounds of outside the dance hall, wherever we are, wherever you are on that day, and you hear a dog barking, you hear a siren, you hear the normal sounds of every day. But this day is different. It sounds normal, but I'm telling you, the day of the birth of Jesus Christ started as a normal day. The day of the flood of Noah started as a normal day, and you could listen and not hear anything to the natural ear. You wouldn't see anything to the natural eye, but the spirit knows, and you take writings that God has given us, that he longed to tell us, and he took the trouble of sending his messenger John to the island of Patmos so that he could get away from everything, get away from the noise, and he could give him this revelation that we are now discussing. And now we're tying it in with a prophet of Israel, namely Micah. And I'm showing you how there is another birth coming, and it is preceded by a sign in heaven, just as the first birth was preceded by a sign in heaven. And what do you think that was? It was a conjunction of planets, probably, of Jupiter and Saturn, of Regulus, the King Star. I don't know how exactly it worked, but I don't think it was some giant new crazy thing that just showed up for this one event. I think it was things already there. I think it were planets already there, a star that was already there, that lined up in a certain way that told people who looked to the heavens as an occupation that something great was happening, not just something great, but that a king was being born. And this king would be someone that they would want to see, and so they traveled great distances. They alienated their families. They traveled great distances to find this one, and they were satisfied. They were satisfied. They didn't leave disappointed. And so likewise, we, our expectation, will be satisfied. Our looking, and even though we are a part of a different administration, we are part of the body of Christ, yet we, like Paul, are looking for this thing to happen because we love Israel, because God loves Israel. I told you that, you know, I don't care about the feasts and everything. Well, you know, it's not my calling. It's not my administration. And it's details I don't wish to get lost in. However, I do still love the feasts of Israel because God loves them. And he uses them for seasons. He gives the agricultural times, the time of sowing and the time of reaping, as memorials for Israel to keep track of time and to give them truths, about how something is planted, something goes into the ground and dies and comes back up, and how to remember how they traveled through the wilderness and that they owe everything to God, and that they hold up the sheaf, the first fruit offering to God, and they recognize his power, they recognize their dependence on him. Don't I want to see all of this come to fruition for this poor people who have been under the thumb of the nations for thousands of years? Oh yes, I want to see it. I want to see it as badly as God wants to see it. And in the course of time, in the fullness of time, I will see it.